Live from State Street in the heart of Chicago, you are listening to the new home of the Chicago Bears. ESPN Chicago. And this is Carmen and Yurko. Live from the old National Bank Studio. WMVP WSHE HD2 Chicago. A Good Karma Brands radio station.
Yes, Lamar Jackson has requested a trade. John Harbaugh still talking like Lamar's going to be their quarterback. I mean, I'll play it for everybody again, just in case you want to hear it. He was talking to the media out at the owners' meetings earlier this morning, and about the time Lamar Jackson sent out the tweet saying, yes, indeed, he has requested a trade from Baltimore. He just doesn't believe that they value him where he believes he should be valued, and he'd like to play somewhere else. This was John Harbaugh being asked about that tweet earlier this morning.
I haven't seen the tweet. It's an ongoing process. I'm following it very closely, just like everybody else is here, and looking forward to a resolution. I'm excited, thinking about Lamar all the time, thinking about him as our quarterback. We're building our offense around that idea, and I'm just looking forward to getting back to football. I'm confident that's going to happen.
Do you anticipate him being your quarterback in week one?
I do. You know, you gotta plan for all the contingencies for sure. But I'm pretty fired up about Lamar Jackson. I mean, Lamar Jackson is a great player. Lamar came back in great shape last year. He's fired up to play. That's the Lamar that I'm looking forward to seeing. Can't wait to get back on the grass and go to work. And I'm confident that's gonna happen.
All right, talking like a guy who thinks he's still gonna have Lamar. Who knows if he will or if he won't? He said we're building our offense around him. Other potential fits, the Colts make sense, the Patriots make sense. I mean, there are a bunch of teams that probably, you know, you'd say they could really use someone like Lamar Jackson. Washington, to me, don't get it, why they wouldn't be interested. Washington, to me, should be a no-brainer, especially when you're in the weaker conference right now. But, all right, we'll see where it goes. Maybe everybody's just waiting till after the draft because they don't want to give up the pick this year. We might have to wait another month before we have any idea.
I think either way, eventually, wherever Lamar Jackson settles, I hope he settles with Baltimore. I think he's fans there love him.
Oh, yeah.
Right? I think he's got a good team with a lot of players that respect him.
I think they've really built that offense around him, too.
I think there's going to be, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars that are going to be guaranteed in his contract.
Mm-hmm.
I can't picture Baltimore without him.
I know.
It doesn't mean he can't go someplace and he can't flourish, go to Washington, stay in Maryland.
Washington.
And play for the Washington Commanders. I mean, I get it. I think it'd be tough for Baltimore to be able to say goodbye to him, but we'll see.
I mean, listen to the way Harbaugh's talking.
Now, listen, when you start missing checks in the NFL, things get a little bit tougher.
Yeah.
When you start missing those checks, things get a little bit tougher.
Especially when it's $32 million. I mean,
$32 million. Well, I mean, that's just the franchise tag.
They
want to pay him more.
They do. They've offered him more.
They want to give him more money. We want to give you $50 million a year.
Yeah.
That's what we want to give you.
Mm.
But he's holding steadfast that if Deshaun Watson gets guaranteed money, I want guaranteed money too.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, I get it. I understand it. Now you get a war of wills. And I'm not rooting for one or the other. I'm a player. I played this game.
I know.
I prefer the players get everything they can while they can get it, period. That's it.
Yurko, this project that I'm going to talk about here just for a second was something we embarked on months ago when the Bears had the number one overall pick. You know, the Bears had not had the number one overall pick in the common draft, the modern draft era since the merger. I mean, it had been quite some time, decades and decades since the Bears had the number one pick. And it was quite a big deal, obviously. Now, they've turned that into something that I think is even more beneficial to them going forward than the number one pick. But they've moved from 1 to 9. As it is, the plan is still for us to go to Kansas City to be there for the draft. It's still an important draft for the Bears, especially if they stay in the top 10. It's still an important pick. It's an important draft.
Even if they move to 11, I still think it's an important draft.
Yurko said to our boss today, to Danny Zetterman, he goes, what if they get outside the top 10? Are we still going to Kansas City? Danny said yes.
Yeah.
We'll see. But we decided to embark on this exercise or this journey of, hey, let's come up with our list of the 20 best Bears draft picks
of all time.
And In order to lead up to draft day, the list has to start being revealed 20 down to 1 this Friday. At the end of the week, we will present to you the beginning of our list. You will find out, in our opinion, who the 20th best draft pick in Bears history is. And I still think it's a fun exercise, and we'll do it even though they don't have the top pick. Why not? Let's have fun. It's good, but you know, it's just good stuff to talk about. I guarantee you it'll cause, at the very least, a couple of arguments and some conversation amongst us and some of the listeners. There's probably someone on the list that you might disagree with. I think potentially we are in the process of leaving someone off the list that a lot of people are going to go, are you guys kidding? I think it'll be a good talking point as we go through the next month.
I think there's some uniformity at the top of the list, too.
There is. And what we did was, there's a thing that
Carmen
you'll hear.
Carmen put his top 20 together. Right. I put my top 20 together.
It's going to be weird that you both have Michael Jordan as number one.
Is that weird, really?
And then we combine the two and have conversations, kind of mash it out.
And Abdallah and Black are still, I'm still forcing them. I want, because we there's a thing in the journalism business where you'll see this. Maybe if you've ever seen the movie, what was the really good one they did about the killing of Bin Laden? Zero Dark Thirty.
Godfather.
Why are you being like this now? Oh, and I want your Godfather story from last night in a minute. Hold on. Abdallah texted me something funny last night. If you've seen Zero Dark Thirty, like within the government, they'll present what's called a red team. They want people to formulate their ideas and then come together so that your judgment isn't clouded or at all sort of like your objectivity is played with by hearing what someone else thinks.
Right.
Right. And that's why, as Yurko said, we decided to put the list together because it could help us work off of them then.
Right.
Yurko
and I.
We did it separately.
We separated, then came back together.
Yurko and I had in the top four, 1, 2, 3, 4. The exact same four players, which I don't think is a stretch at all. We had them just in a slightly different order. Now, we have to continue to discuss and tweak how we want the final order to present itself. But the top four on Yurko's list, again, not particular order, but the players were the top four on my list. And I sort of felt pretty confident going into it that that was going to be the case, and it was.
And we had the same guy at six.
And we did have the same guy at six.
Same
You're right
at
about
six,
that.
Yes.
So be on the lookout for that list a little bit later this week. We're going to kick it off on Friday. The Carmen and Yurko Show top 20 Bears draft picks of all time. Remember, Mongo, sadly, not on the list. Mongo was not a Bears draft
pick. He was not.
Trying to think of who else somebody might hear and go, oh, you guys left him off the list. Listen, Jay Cutler holds the franchise records for passing, but he was not a Bears draft
was
pick.
Was not.
You know, he will not make an appearance on the list. Gary Fensick, as great as he was not a draft pick of the Bears. Gary Fensick will not be on the list. So names like that, there are certain names that just won't appear because these players had to be drafted by the Chicago Bears organization. 312-332-3776. If you want to join us to talk about everything, anything from the weekend, whether this is like some of the new developments about Lamar, the Final Four, the lack of traditional blue blood power other than UConn. And to me, yes, UConn is a blue blood. Again, they've won four titles, for crying out loud, since 1999. That's a blue blood. I don't know, they've been like in a dozen Elite Eights since 1990. To me, that's a blue blood. And what Jim Calhoun built at that program was pretty special. Dave's in Crown Point on ESPN 1000. Hey, Dave.
Hey, guys. Since I was listening, Jay Hilgenberg's not on that list either.
He is not. You're correct that, Dave, because Hilgi was not drafted. You're exactly right, Dave.
Yeah, so I think I know who Viking Scott is. So I'm gonna have to drop in his office because I too live in Crown Point. But sounds like he had Creighton on the money line. But the reason for my call is that we have 750 people in our pool, and we started this pool in 1980.
Wow,
seven hundred fifty. It's $12.50 a person. It comes out of North Carolina. I've got buddies in North Carolina. Obviously, no one has the Final Four, and the only people have Connecticut. There's 33 people who had Connecticut in the finals.
Wow!
But here's the problem. The first two guys are settled. The next 29, there's tiebreakers involved. And in our rules saying that the team that has – so if Connecticut loses, there's going to be no teams that are left in our pool. We're not going to know what to do with the tiebreaker.
Oh, my God. We, like, how far down do you have to go, right? I mean.
Yeah, exactly.
Coin
so
flip.
We don't know. Coin flip or maybe take the first two and give them all the money or break up the money. We don't know yet.
This is unprecedented, so Dave. Basically, what you're saying is this is unprecedented.
It's never happened in our pool where we didn't have both teams in the Final Four.
And I don't know that it's going to happen again, or at least I don't think it's going to become a recurring theme the way maybe some people think or would like it to be. I think this is probably a little bit of an outlier.
Well, but one last thing about Iowa, since I mentioned Hilgenberg.
Yeah.
Caton Clark, there was nobody who had a 30-double-double. So she's got a 30-double-double and a 40-double-double.
Like, are you kidding? She's, I mean, it's not even close.
And they play the winner tonight of the Maryland and South Carolina game. That's, so South Carolina is a heavy favorite.
That team's good, right?
To win the rest of the tournament. Yeah. So, but if Caton Clark throws up 40, who knows what could happen?
That's pretty awesome. And Dave, thanks, buddy. We appreciate you checking in. She's great. I mean, she's jacking threes from 5 feet behind the 3-point line.
She's
chucking
them up.
Steph Curry out there.
Yep, she's like, chucking them up.
Fantastic. Yeah, so if you run one of these big pools, this has got to be unprecedented where you're, you know.
You're scratching your head.
He basically said 5% of their, 4% of their pools had even Connecticut going this far, and you could forget about the others.
Yeah, 33 of 750. 33 of 750.
It's crazy, man. Let's go to Alex in Carroll. Oh, no, I'm sorry. I hit the wrong button. This is Carl on the west side. We'll go to Carl first.
What's up, Carl?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's up, man?
I was actually calling in because I usually call in usually listen to Yerk about his, you know, linemen moving their feet and everything else. And you didn't do your research on Paris Johnson Jr. His father was born here. It's my brother.
It's
my
nephew.
He?
Come on.
Yeah.
But Paris Johnson is your nephew?
Paris Johnson Jr. is my nephew. My brother Paris Johnson was drafted 5th round, Arizona Cardinals, 1999.
That's fantastic. All right, so what are you hearing, my friend? Come on, I mean, give us a little bit of the inside. Did the Bears were at his pro day? Did the Bears talk to him at the combine? What's going on?
Well, I mean, my brother's keeping it all, you know, hush mouth and everything else. But it's, you know, him and his mom, you know, doing their thing and. Hopefully he gets drafted here. We want the Bears to draft him here
because
you know, he played with Justin and everything else. There's some familiarity right there. And, you know, he wasn't born here, but his father, you know, after he got out the league, he moved to Ohio and became a cop. So that's where he was born at, out there.
Okay, so that's why he picked Ohio State. Did your brother play in the league? I'm struggling to recall your brother. Did he play in the league?
Yeah. Yeah, he played in the league a couple of years. I think he played like 3 years. He got his wrist was damaged and never really healed, right?
Okay.
So, you know, he did a couple of years. He played with Dallas 1 year. But, yeah, he was drafted by the Arizona Cardinals, 1999,
awesome.
5th round.
Carl, when you get any good inside scoop, you got to let us know, okay? I said it last week. I'd like the Bears to end up with him. And maybe I'm leaning a little bit too much just into his sort of tangible stuff or the stuff that you can look at. I'm not an expert at breaking down offensive lineman tape. I won't pretend to be. I'll let Yurko do that. But just looking at his body and his athleticism, like, that looks like a left tackle to me. So I wouldn't mind that one bit, Carl.
I would love for Yurk to break his tape down and everything else. I would love to hear it over the radio and
everything
else. But, yeah.
I've got to dissect the film.
Carl, thanks, buddy. We're going to assign Yurko a little bit more film study. I want you to take a deeper look at Paris Johnson. I know in Big Z's first mock over the weekend, he had the Bears going with the one guy we haven't talked about as much, Broderick Jones from Georgia. That's who he had the Bears. But a lot of people seem to think it's going to be an offensive tackle.
Trying to find something for his dad as far as in reference to the NFL has been a little bit difficult. So I'm still looking.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't recall the name. And but I wouldn't mind Paris ending up here, I'll tell you that. The Bears win total, by the way, is out. We got one book that has released some win totals for the NFL already, even before the draft. We'll tell you where one book has put the Bears number, the number they are hanging right now, and if we would go over or under coming up next.
Working from home?
We're back in the office.
Don't miss a minute of Carmen and Yurko. Just ask your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
The Bulls continue to play some of their best basketball of the season, Yurko. I'm still not overly excited about it. I don't know why. Maybe I'm being a Debbie Downer or what. I don't know. I just don't see a team that's got much staying power come playoff time.
I mean, do you see the reality of where they're at and where they're going? I mean, where they're going is the play-in game. If they get through that, where they're going is the probably number one seed. Yeah. So, I mean, what's to be excited for?
They've won 7-9.
Yeah, watching Grayson Allen drop another 24 on his team coming off the bench. Is that what you're getting excited for?
I can't imagine anything worse.
For him, maybe to cheap shot Coby White? I mean, what are you waiting for? So, yeah, I understand why. Hey, it's great, 10-5 ever since they got Pat Bev. Hey, look at us. We just beat the Lakers. I mean, that's pretty good, right? You're not crying about beating the Lakers. Lakers are competing themselves. They get into a play-in game.
They haven't. These are important games to the Lakers,
these
and the Bulls handled them.
Must-win games.
And LeBron came back.
Yeah, LeBron was back. Pat Bev made him look a little silly on one play, and then let him know that he made him look silly on that play. I mean, it's funny. I think it's funny. Hey, at least they're going to get in. They're going to maybe get to a series, you know, after playing the play-in game. And then anything can happen, Carm. I'm not a Debbie Downer when it comes to getting into the playoffs and maybe getting something done. Who knows? They might fire. They might. They might go crazy. They might make it happen.
I don't think so.
And is that the same game Vooch got kicked out of?
Yes, Vooch got kicked out.
Vooch got kicked out for swearing in Serbian.
Yeah, because here it is. This is what it sounded like on NBC Sports Chicago. Here's the hometown call.
There's LeBron. Oh, Vucevic. Oh, he's going to get tagged with a foul. Sean Corbin called it. Yeah, that'll be the first.
Come on.
It's a technical.
You know what? This is what really upsets me about the game.
Oh, they threw him out. They just threw him out of the game.
No, he didn't.
That is absolutely
that's
shocking.
Come on,
to
man.
Me.
Come on.
That took place.
That's terrible. That's a terrible thing right there.
You've changed the game. That happened to Anthony Davis and he got tagged with two quick techs that quickly, you've basically taken the Lakers out of the game at that point.
At the end of the day, the fans don't come to see the officials.
Stacey's right about that. The Bulls didn't need him last night or yesterday afternoon. They won anyway. But, yeah, he swears always in Serbian, so he doesn't get in trouble. But, like, Tony Brothers and the crew weren't having it anyway, which, come on, guys, take it easy.
Well, they understand Serbian?
I mean, really.
How do they know what he was saying?
That's what Billy Donovan said.
After the first tech, he walked straight to the bench anyway. He walked to the bench.
Come on.
He was on his side. You want to talk about rabbit ears?
I mean, really.
You don't even understand the language?
Take it easy.
You have no idea what he's saying? And yet you're going to give him a second tech?
Silly.
I'm with you. Take it easy, guys.
Yeah. Maybe he knows.
Oh, but even if
he knows.
Like, nothing Vooch did there was overly, like, demonstrative.
Right.
They're not speaking Serbian.
Running with his hand and like he had just been maimed.
I mean, really.
Like his arm was chopped off.
I'm by no means agreeing with the call, but the ref might know what it means.
No, he doesn't know what it means. Yeah. Billy Donovan's right. He's like, how does he know what he was saying?
He has no idea.
Maybe he was giving him instructions on how to bake chocolate chip cookies. You don't know.
We don't eat chocolate chip cookies.
Really?
The diet's much healthier over there. The diet is much healthier.
The Balkans don't eat chocolate chip cookies?
No, they don't. They're kolache.
Something tells me Luka he's part of the Balkans, right?
Yeah, but that chocolate chip, I bet you the stuff and the sweets he eats is totally different.
All right. You might be right about that. They eat Toblerone. That's what they eat.
I tell you 100% they don't eat chocolate chip cookies.
What is happening? I know. I do, too.
They took the mountains off the label.
Well, they can't call it. It's not made in Switzerland, right? Isn't this like a big thing where the Swiss government finally said, you can't call that a Swiss treat because it's... Wasn't that the thing? I think it was Toblerone. I think they made them like...
Did they appropriate their mountains?
I thought that was the San Francisco treat.
It's not. That's Rice-a-roni.
Did they appropriate Switzerland's mountains?
I think they did.
Is that what happened?
And then they said, well, you're not even made in Switzerland.
Boy.
You can't. I thought I saw that.
Is that going to go up in front of the European Commission then?
Hold on. I'm going to look at
the EC, Carm?
Chocolate company. I thought I saw in the news recently.
Chocolate company.
I love how we go down these rabbit holes.
Chocolate company to forfeit all profits.
Yeah.
Toblerone
to Switzerland must remove the Matterhorn from its chocolate packaging over Swissness rules.
I would ask simply this.
Swissness.
Oh. Not Swissness.
Well, Swissness from Switzerland.
Yeah,
are they
Swissness
next?
People? Are they next?
I don't know.
Are we going after the hot chocolate?
I would offer this up. I would have 100 random people look at those mountains and say, name that
mountain. That's true.
And how many think of the 100 people would be able to go, oh, well, that's the Matterhorn. Of course.
Like maybe four.
I honestly thought that that mountain was called Toblerone. Like it was Mount
Toblerone. Mount Toby.
Yeah.
Where are you guys going, Mount Toby?
No, that's my point, though. That's my point. What do they mean?
Charlie, you got to incorporate this in your next bit. I mean, your next stand-up routine. Like, you guys hear what's going on? Toblerone?
Yeah, what do you mean?
I thought that was Mount
Toby. You guys see this? You guys hear this? We're doing headlines next.
That is fantastic. Did you see your guy, the comedian, Sebastian Maniscalco, doing the baseball commercials now?
No, I missed it.
Talking about how the Little League pitcher is taking too long to pitch.
That's funny.
Yeah, he's talking about the rules changing, how it's going to make baseball a little bit better.
Something funny.
That's funny.
Yeah. Well, it's not even funny.
There you go.
Little League pitchers?
Yeah, exactly.
These little
pitchers. The bats, they're so
busy cooking zucchini.
I do have a question about Maniscalco.
I'm watching Dandelions.
What is his accent exactly? Because isn't he from Chicago?
Exactly. He's from Arlington Heights.
Yes.
He doesn't talk like anybody I've ever known from Arlington Heights.
No.
He
talks like a guy that worked at O'Hare.
He talks like a guy who wants to kind of be from New York, but isn't.
No, it's exactly what it is.
Right? Like, that's kind of what I've always... And I think he's funny, don't get me wrong. Like, a lot of his bits make me laugh.
Yeah.
But I've always wondered about his accent because they say he's from here. And he loves, like, talking about his Italian heritage, and I have no doubt that that's true.
Big Arlington Heights Italian
but
community.
But I've never heard anyone... I've lived here my entire life. I've lived in Chicago for 46 years.
You've never heard that accent?
I am 100% Italian. My mom's first language is Italian.
Right.
My grandparents didn't speak English.
And Argentinian, of course.
I know what Italians sound like here.
He's not
and
a
I've
guy.
Never met one that talks like he talks. Am I crazy?
Do you
or?
Think his act is like maybe he's doing an imitation of one of his uncles that talked that
know.
Way?
I don't know what it is. And don't get me wrong, like he is funny, but I have always questioned
the accent. Bill Burr is funny.
Bill Burr's hilarious.
Bill Burr is a funny man. That's Burr's funny hilarious. Man. That's man that's funny.
He might be the funniest guy working right now out of all those guys. Like, he's hilarious.
It's weird,
but the Maniscalco accent has always made me go like, wait, where
sounds, let
me
hear it. Sounds like someone, he sounds like someone that was a Clockwork Oranged, like with the eyeballs and everything, you know, how, like they make him watch the thing with Sopranos for like the entire series.
That's kind of what it sounds like. But the Sopranos was filmed in New Jersey and in New York.
Right.
That is the way they talk.
With their mannerisms and such.
Yeah, like I can put on Sopranos and listen to Pauly Walnuts and Big Pussy Pompancero and Silvio and say, yeah, that's like a quintessential New York.
Yes.
But I've always often been a little bit, I kind of feel like it's the scene in the basement in Inglourious Bastards where the German SS officer gets up and he's all over
it. What part of Germany are you from?
Yeah, he goes, I too have acute ear for accents, and yours is funny to me because you're an American speaking German.
Yes.
And while you speak it fluently and quite well, a German is going to notice that something is quite
wrong. What was the real tell for him?
Well, when he screwed up the finger.
You're no more German than that scotch.
Yeah. Yeah. You are no more German than the scotch in that glass.
Carmen knows this. You know what happened to me yesterday?
Oh, this is funny.
So last night, it's Ramadan, right? So I go to iftar dinner with my dad and my wife and our baby. Mm-hmm. And we go to a Turkish restaurant in the neighborhood, and it's very good. But all of a sudden, we're sitting there, we're eating some hummus, we got the kebabs are going, we're going to town, end of the fast, we're going nuts, right? And all of a sudden, I'm like, I turn to Whitney and I go, do you hear that? And she's like, yeah, what is that? And all of a sudden, we just hear this. They're playing a Turkish restaurant, the whole staff, it's like a family-owned full staff, very Turkish. I'm not saying this isn't a good song. But like,
Abdal goes, I think they're having an identity crisis over here. I don't know what's happening. They're playing the Godfather thing.
They're playing the full theme, like the full soundtrack is going.
What
is a 9-minute song?
They played the whole thing. It lasted the whole appetizer course. What is going on?
Have you been to this restaurant before?
Yeah.
Have they ever played it?
No. Normally they play like, They're either just regular classical music or they just play like Turkish music or like Arab music. I assume that they didn't know what this was.
How can that be?
I mean, listen, they're fresh off the boat. They don't know what's going on.
I believe in America. America making my fortune. Well, I mean, there is a character named the Turk in The Godfather. Is it an honor to Salazzo?
Salazzo.
Like what?
It's like what starts off the whole chain of events, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
You come to me with this kind of offer.
How dare you.
You come to me with this hummus.
On this, the night we break the fast of Ramadan.
You don't even offer me a baklava.
You don't think to call me Godfather. You don't even offer baklava.
What is this?
You don't even offer me Turkish coffee. With the grinds in the bottom.
My dad's trying to have a conversation with us. I couldn't concentrate. I didn't hear a word he said.
So you were just like...
Didn't hear a word he said. I'm trying to go through every single scenario of why the hell this restaurant would be playing The Godfather. Like, the whole soundtrack. The whole... Everything.
I don't get it. Abdallah's apoplectic about the whole thing. I don't know. I have no idea. Next time, go in there, see if they do it again, and maybe ask. I love how we got on this because Toblerone came up. And we talked about the Swiss government making him remove the Matterhorn. Somehow Sebastian Maniscalco's accent came into question and why a Turkish restaurant would be playing the Godfather theme. Only on the Cartman and Yurko show. We'll be right back.
Zoning out on that Zoom meeting? Zoom. Find out what Cartman and Yurko were talking about. Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
All right, we promised to give you a Bears over-under. One book is already released to total, which, I don't know, getting an early start, I guess. I mean, before the draft, maybe a little bit surprising. But now that the big free agency wave is over, all right, so DraftKings has released NFL win totals. They've pegged the Bears at 7.5 right now. Is there equal juice on both sides of that, Adam? Or is one heavier than the other?
Good question.
I'd be curious to see if
But I will look.
Under has heavier juice right now. 7.5. What is your initial?
You would guess it's minus 120.
Or 125,
I think it's a good place for the number, 7-8. You know, depending if they build any momentum, I'd say 7 or 8.
They feel like a 7-10 team maybe, right?
Yeah. With the 8-9, yeah. But they got the number. They got the number at the right place.
I think they do. Yeah. I think they do. If they don't approach that...
I'd go freeze your picking somewhere else. So that'd be a number I avoid.
The over 7.5 is minus 120. The under is even money.
So the over is minus 120.
Yeah, the over's juiced up a little bit.
Wow. How about that, Yerk? So a little more optimism maybe than people thought might be coming the Bears' way.
If you knew what
even
the
money
Bears,
on the under.
If you knew what the Bears were still going to do, and you have a feeling they're going to make some more strides in the offensive and defensive line...
Jeffrey Simmons rumors?
You'd feel a little bit safer, maybe, taking the over.
Well, it's also like, okay, so their home games are obviously the division. Atlanta, Carolina, Denver, Vegas, and Arizona.
You know, Denver and Vegas could be tough games.
Yeah, but Atlanta.
So could the Lions.
Carolina, Arizona. Arizona's going to be one of the worst teams in the NFL.
A Packers team without Aaron Rodgers.
Their road games are tough. They have to go. Kansas City could be here or could be in Kansas City.
It could be in Germany. Yeah.
The Chargers, the Saints, the Bucks should be an easy one. The Bucks are selling off pieces left and right.
I don't think the Bucks are going to be very good.
It's Washington, who knows what Washington's going to look like?
I think Washington's good, though. I don't know what they're doing. Their quarterback, but I think Washington's good.
Their defense is good.
Well, they've got skill players on that offense. They do.
Who's throwing to them?
I don't know.
Good question.
Yeah, well, if Lamar goes there, think about how tough that is.
My point is that it's a very easy schedule.
I wouldn't say it's very easy.
Aside from the Chiefs and the Chargers.
Okay, but we don't even know what the layout looks like yet. We don't know about their rest schedule, their rest edge, and things like that. Those are always important. Warren Sharp does a great job every year of breaking down the net rest edge for every team in the NFL. It is a nice little tool to have going into the offseason or going into the summer and fall, Yurko, for your futures wagers on over-unders. So we don't know that it's an easy schedule just yet.
Yeah, you're waiting to find out how easy this schedule is going to be. You are.
I'll say this. If they don't approach 7-8, we're not going to be feeling very good going into the offseason. Or at the very least, we're going to be feeling like time to trade up to number one to get a quarterback, right? I mean, if they win three games again,
no, and that's I think you'll be better. You'll win five games. You win five games, you're feeling uneasy. If you win six games, you're feeling uneasy.
But if you get to seven or eight, you're like, oh, there's improvement. Like,
okay, there's improvement. Yeah. What were the Bears' records the last 3 years through seven games?
Okay,
2022 it was 3-4.
Last year was it 3-4?
It was 3-4. Then they lost the rest of their games.
Okay,
what was their record the year before in 2021?
Hold on, let me think about it for just a second. Ahead and think. I'm going to say it was. That was Nagy's last year, 2-5.
No, they were 3-4.
They were 3-4.
3-4 through seven games. What were they in 2020 through?
3-4?
5-2.
5-2.
5-2. They ended up 8-8, though. Only got 8 victories, okay?
Wow, yeah.
So my point is, it's tough to tell early on because everybody believes they can win. And it's before you get into the malaise of, well, we stink, well, we lost this guy, well, we're really not that good. And then you go about the business of losing three straight games by a point, and everybody's downtrodden in the building, and you got the moving services outside and then the boxing services out there. So the point is that after the first month of the season, the Bears have been in position to win 7-8 games every single year for the last 3 years.
Yeah, remember 2021 when they started 3-2 and then went 1-8?
Yeah. Well, last year is another perfect example. Like Yurko said, they win that Monday night game. Not that I think any of us felt like something crazy was going to happen over the course of the rest of the season, but I don't think you expected 10 straight losses.
2019.
Okay, hold on. That's coming off of 18. I'm going to say through seven, they were 3-4.
3-4.
Yeah.
All right. Wow. After 2 months of the season, you're still in it. Mm. You're still in it. 2018, what were they?
Well, then I'm going to say they were. All right, well, they got hat later. I'm going to say they were
4-3.
Four and three.
They started 3-3 after that tough loss to Miami in overtime. Remember that? That was two losses in a row. They went 3-1, 3-3. They won their seventh game.
Yeah.
4-3. After seven games for the last 5 years, for the love of everything holy. Okay? After seven games in the last 5 years, this team has been poised to go one direction or the other.
Well, like you said, they've been right around 500.
All right, but that's my point, though. So how do I judge? This team is going to be, after seven games next year,
3-4.
They're going to be 3-4, 4-3, because everybody believes they can win. That's where they're going to be. And then how does a 4-3 or a 3-4 team not get the seven?
Well, you trade away the last couple of pieces that you had that were somewhat productive on your defense, although you Robert Quinn did very little at any point last year.
You start picking apart your team, and you start finding your weaknesses, and you start talking about where you're not good. Everybody figures out who you are. Yeah. They get some stuff on tape, and they figure out who you are, and then they start to exploit your weaknesses. Yeah. Guys get beat up. Guys get banged up, and the next thing you know, you go the other direction.
Yeah, you're right.
And that's what happens.
Yeah.
But you got 4-3 and 3-4 football teams that all of a sudden can't win six games in a season. The rest of the year. Can't win three more games.
Can't win three. Couldn't win two more games last year, Yurk. Lester's in Northbrook.
It's not like this team's 0-6 after six games.
What's up, Lester?
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good, man.
Hey, what's the total showing on the Carolina Panthers for next year, for this coming year?
Good question.
Seven and a half.
Look at that first round pick.
Seven and a half. Boy, that seems like a little bull. Thanks, Lester. That's a good point.
It's different, though.
Let's hope the Bears beat them.
When it was 16 games... That's when I'm calibrating everything off. I got to remember there's a 17th game.
Let's hope the Bears beat them next year when they're here, right? What? Give us some of the real low ones and some of the real high ones, Adam.
So the Bucs are 6.5.
Yeah, Bucs.
These aren't done by like a. The Cardinals are 5.5.
I figured they'd be low.
The Bills are 10.5. Sorry, these are out of order. The Chiefs are 11.5.
That's got to be one of the highest, I would think.
The Colts are 6.5.
What's Minnesota?
49ers, 11.5.
Yeah, I would say Niners have to be up there. Bengals, I would think, are about 10 or 11.
Bengals are 11.5.
11.5, okay.
Who'd you ask for?
Minnesota Vikings.
Minnesota is...
13-win team last year. 13-4.
Yeah, they're not winning.
8.5.
Yeah, well, exactly. What's Green Bay?
That's a good...
How do you hang a number on Green Bay right now? I mean, I guess you're just totally assuming he's gone. But
so a lot of books already put out Green Bay, and the Jets are 9.5.
Like, so how do you, hanging those numbers is a little harder, isn't it? All right, so the Jets are 9.5.
Yeah, by the way, 2017.
Green Bay, 7.5, heavily juiced on the under.
Yeah, like what? Like 140?
Minus 150.
Minus 150 on the under.
2017 Bears, 3-4. My point exactly.
Are you serious?
Yes.
It's like every year for the last 6 years.
Yeah, except for the 1 year they were real good.
Arizona's going to not have Kyler for like half the year. I feel like there's no way they get to six wins.
What's he out with, Kyler?
Towards ACL.
Yeah. That's not that Tyler. That's Charlie.
Yeah. No, I said, what happened to Kyler?
He meant to say Kyler.
I said Kyler.
I thought you said you're all right, Spider.
What happened to Kyler in the ACL? Why come back? If I'm Kyler Murray, why come back? I take care of that knee.
No, you don't like that philosophy, though. When guys are ready to play, they play. You've always said that. He's got a new. They got a new coach. Although I don't know why they went all defense. I don't get it. I don't get why some teams do what they do. What the hell do I know? I know I'm a slap Johnny on the radio, but I mean, like, I don't understand it.
Maybe I learned a lesson for my Derrick Rose stuff. Maybe I learned a lesson. Did you ever think that?
No.
Then maybe I could have learned a lesson.
No.
Maybe this is a more understanding.
Maybe I was a little harsh. Maybe there's more understanding. A softer Yurko at 55.
No.
I've gone to church. Maybe I've gone to St. Andrew the Apostle in Calumet City, Illinois, and I've lit a candle and maybe repented for my ways.
I think when guys are, but I don't disagree with you. I think when
you ever
guys
think about that?
when guys are ready to
Devin
play,
Hester's not a Hall
play.
Of Famer. All right, I haven't repented on that one yet. Don't you worry about that.
Poor Devin, never repent on that one, Yurko.
No, but maybe I've gotten softer on injuries.
All right,
I don't know.
The White Sox home opener, or just opener, is a few days away. We're happy to announce that our partners at Nissan are bringing back the Nissan no-hitter contest this year on the White Sox radio network. That's us. So here's the deal. Go enter at nissannohitter.com. That's all you have to do. Go to the website, nissannohitter.com. If the White Sox throw a no-hitter this season, you could win a 2023 Rogue. Remember, there was one in 2020. There was one in 2021. Rodon delivered for someone. It's the Nissan No Hitter Contest. NissanNoHitter.com. It's brought to you by your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Nissan dealers.
You're listening to Carmen and Yurko. If you miss something, get the podcast on the ESPN Chicago app. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN Chicago.
Tomorrow is the final day of spring trading, Yurko. One final Tuesday in March. We mix up the shows again. I'm going to be on early tomorrow with Dion Miller. Looking forward to that. We'll be in for Cap and Hoodie. Greeny will be on 10 to noon. Abdallah and Connor, noon to 2 in our spot. Yurk and Waddle. How fun is that ride going to be tomorrow afternoon?
It's going to be fun.
Who's driving?
Be a fun
you
ride.
Or Waddle?
Waddle is.
Okay. Yurko and Waddle from 2 to 6 because Sylvie's on vacay. So's Hoodie. And then Cap and Black tomorrow night from 6 to 8 to end your day. Black and Abdallah will be on tonight. Waddle and Sylvie coming up. Peggy's in for the vacationing Mark Silverman, so we'll get to crosstalk with Waddle and Peggy. Let's hope she doesn't say anything that gets us thrown off the air, which with Peggy is always a possibility. Like on one of the days I was gone, I heard.
By the way.
She's something, man.
Peggy's better half.
Jason.
Jason.
Great guy.
Invited us out.
Two?
Oh, you know where.
I know.
You know where.
Starts with an
M. Since we're getting out there, we're going to be playing a little bit of golf.
Play some golf.
Yeah, I think three shut down under construction.
Okay.
I know they had announced a project. I don't know when that project is commenced.
Okay.
But I'm assuming this would be the year that it would commence.
All right.
So, you know, we'd play number two.
They've got all one, three. The courses are great. I've been fortunate enough to play two a few times as well, and it's very nice.
Yeah.
Beautiful place out
there. Yeah, so get ready for that, right?
Who won the match play, by the way? I was watching a little of the Rory, Sam Burns. Was it, right. Did Sam Burns win?
That was...
Who won?
No. It was Rory and Scheffler for third and fourth. Rory outlasted Scheffler. So Rory finished third, Scheffler finished fourth.
Did Sam Burns win?
Then it was Cameron Young and Sam Burns. And Burns, I think, outlasted Cameron Young, if I had to guess.
I think you're right. Yeah, I think Sam Burns won. And he was down to Rory when I was watching it early in the morning, but he came back.
Yeah. So I think that's 1, 2, 3, and 4 there.
Not bad.
You.
Not bad at all.
Yeah. I forget somebody had won the Mayakoba Classic or something. So there's another victor and a guy that's going to play in the Masters.
Okay.
Because if you win those tournaments up until the Masters, you automatically qualify for the Masters.
I just watched the fifth episode late last night before I went to bed, the Full Swing documentary on Netflix. And, man, they are killing it with that. It is so well done, so well produced. It was the Finau Morikawa episode, Yerk. Very, very good stuff. Continue to churn those.
The Finau Morikawa episode.
Yes, that's the one I watched last night.
Okay.
It is so good.
Finau
very
Morikawa.
Much enjoying. Yes, very much enjoying.
Was that a tournament like they were competing for, or was it just the two of them?
It was the two of them.
Getting to know you.
Yes.
Getting to know all about you.
They basically highlight a golfer or two in every episode.
I saw the Koepka one.
That was the second one.
Yeah. Trying to figure out his putter.
The Joel Damon one is incredible.
Joel Damon.
Incredible. Like, that's probably the best one yet. Finau and Morikawa, they kind of did a combo. What was the one before that? It was DJ and, damn, why can't I think of it now? They kind of did a combo with DJ going over to live, and I can't remember who the other golfer
was. DJ and who? Was it Abraham Anser?
It was not. I don't think Abraham Anser's got enough. Like, we know Abraham Anser, but I don't think he's got enough, would you say, panache?
Panache. Enough Q rating, Carm.
Enough Q rating to be,
if you saw a picture of him, would you know it was Abraham Anser?
I would, yes.
Yeah.
But I bet you most people wouldn't.
Well, who else went over to live then besides DJ that you would know
but
right
away? It was one of the guys that stayed.
Was it Lee Westwood?
No, I feel like it was one of the guys that, or maybe it was Cam Smith and DJ. I can't believe
Cameron Smith,
Australian. It is a fabulous documentary.
I'm betting on nothing but live golfers.
I wouldn't.
To win the Masters.
All right, so you have everybody on LIV and I get everybody on the PGA Tour? You want to make a wager right now?
Well, sure, why not? Right. What are my odds?
I'm not giving you odds. You're the one who just said it.
No, there's.
I just said it. Am I crazy?
Yeah.
You just said you're betting on every LIV golfer.
I am, over there, with my odds that I'm going to receive. Right. What? I'm going to Hard Rock.
I'm
going to Hard Rock, Northwest Indiana, and I'm going to go over there, and I'm going to put $20 on every LIV player to win.
That's something Northwest.
Every LIV player to win.
All right, good for you.
So you go over there, and you spend substantially more putting $20 apiece on them. No. My point to you is that you're getting four times the amount of golfers that I got.
Listen,
I want the odds.
You're the one.
Oh, see, big talk over there. No longer lippy
big
over
talk.
There.
You're the one who was lippy.
The one guy goes, well, I can, the paper says the odds are this. Well, go bet the paper then.
Go bet the paper.
This is the odds I'm setting, baby. This is the way it's working.
You want to bet with me? These are the odds.
Hey,
you want to bet the line
Glance
of the paper?
Culver. Go bet Glance Culver then.
Go bet the Tribune.
What are you talking
about? Get the papers.
About?
Get the papers.
That's right.
I'll tell you the other documentary I watched on Netflix.
By the way, that's an old movie he just quoted. Charlie just quoted an old movie.
Charlie knows movies. You know, he was a film major.
I'm acknowledging the fact.
A film major.
Jake's a film major
and hasn't seen any old movies.
Sometimes I still get Charlie and Jake mixed up. They're like the new Bleck and Abdallah. They don't do anything without each other. Charlie was not the film major. Jake Cantu was. I'm sorry. Okay, but Charlie's seen a lot of old movies.
Yeah, because Charlie lives a life like a stand-up. He just sits at home and watches TV all day before he goes and does a set or bartends.
I'll tell you the other documentary I watched. Only three parts. Very good. The one on Malaysia 370, the Malaysia Airlines 370 from, what was that, 2014, Yerk?
Yeah.
The one that disappeared. Very good. Especially if you like conspiracy theories.
What's going on?
Well, everybody, you know, there's a lot of theories out there. How does a plane just vanish?
I don't know. Conspiracy theories are 30-0 in the last 2 years.
Have you seen Lost?
They're undefeated.
It's pretty easy to make a plane disappear if you've seen Lost.
Yeah. Well, that's just it.
You just have to be a billionaire.
It is kind of fascinating. It's worth it. It's worth it.
Those trenches are deep down there, Carm.
Those trenches are deep. That's true. But come on. Watch the documentary. It's pretty interesting. That's all I'm going to say. Randy's in Seattle. What up, Randy?
Oh, boys. Get the end of the show here. Very quickly, a couple things, and I want to do a small world story very quickly. But your line from Friday, it was a great event on Friday to listen to, but your line about Matt Silverman was maybe the best ever.
Well, that's a true story.
I know.
That is a 100% true story.
Yeah, I thought that was hysterical. Quickly, a couple weeks ago, you mentioned Heather Locklear.
Yes.
And how spectacular she is.
I loved her.
I worked in L.A. in the 80s and 90s. I lived down there, and I met her. She was a client of the firm. And to paraphrase a line from Seinfeld, she was tiny, but she was spectacular.
Mm-hmm. You better believe it.
Question.
She was like my all-time favorite.
1985. I think it was the T.J. Hooker years.
Yeah.
Very small world story for you. You had commented when you were doing Waddle's World on the human composting.
Yes.
And I share office spaces. It has nothing to do with my business, but the people I share office space with are funeral directors, and they do a lot of cremations and body deliveries and stuff. And I talked to Jeff, who
runs business, and I played the podcast for him because I thought he'd get a kick out of it. He says, I just got off the phone with the guy that owns that company.
Oh, really?
He says, if this happened in Seattle, chances are we probably delivered the box.
Because it's happening in Washington. That was one of the states on the list.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm very intrigued by that whole thing. And, Randy, thanks for checking in, buddy. We got to run here in a minute. It was a story from Waddle's World when I was in last week, I think, during spring trading, Eric. And we were talking about it. Like, would you do that? Where, when you died, would you agree or would you be up for, like, your remains being turned into compost to give back to the earth? And I was like, that's sort of intriguing. I think I would be interested in that. And certain states are making it. There's a company that will do it. You know, if you, like, let's say you want to be cremated, would it be more useful to be turned into compost for the benefit of the flora and fauna of the world going forward? I can see that you're going to have some smart-ass comment going
on. No, I got no smart-ass comment.
I see something rolling around in your brain.
Told you where my ashes are going, right into a football so my kids can play catch with me, my grandkids.
Best ever. We wanted to start that business years ago when Yurko first told us.
Yeah.
And then somebody beat us to it, I think.
Yurko was already up and running.
It's so great.
Yeah. I want to get football.
Yurko wants to be put inside of a
football. Painted up with my picture, you know, maybe my Mr. Universe picture where I was all muscular as a Ute. And you know, just have the kids and say, hey, kids, let's play catch.
The all-time best.
Let's have a catch.
Charles Barkley's got the final word, and then we're going to crosstalk with Waddle and Sylvie with Peggy sitting in. The final word is brought to you, as always, by Bath Planet.
Carmen and Yurko present today's final word.
Because you had to be a big shot, didn't you? You had to open up your mouth.
Today's final word. On Carmen and Yurko.
Kevin Durant.
He's very sensitive, great player. He's part of that generation who think he can't be criticized. He's never looked in the mirror and says, man, was that a fair criticism?